more important things to do. And me, said Nanny. Good night to you. And you. They turned their backs on one another and strode away into the downpour. The midnight rain drummed on McGrath's curtained windows as she thumbed her way purposefully through Goody Wimper's books of what, for want of any better word, could be called natural magic. The old woman had been a great collector of such things, and most unusually had written them down. Witches didn't normally have much use for literacy, but book after book was filled with tiny, meticulous handwriting detailing the results of patient experiments in applied magic. Goody Wimper had, in fact, been a research witch. Someone has to do it. It's all very well calling for Eye of Newt, but do you mean common, spotted, or great-crested? Which eye, anyway? Will tabioca do just as well? If we substitute egg white, will the spell A work, B fail, or C melt the bottom out of the cauldron? Goody Wimper's curiosity about such things was huge and insatiable. Nearly insatiable. It was probably satiated in her last flight to test whether a broomstick could survive having its bristles pulled out one by one in mid-air. According to the small black raven she had trained as a flight recorder, the answer was almost certainly no. McGrath was looking up love spells. Every time she shut her eyes, she saw a red and yellow figure on the darkness inside. Something had to be done about it. She shut the book with a snap and looked at her notes. First, she had to find out his name. The old peel-the-apple trick should do that. You just peeled an apple, getting one length of the peel, and threw the peel behind you. It had landed in the shape of his name. Millions of girls had tried it, and had inevitably been disappointed. Unless the loved one was called Skutskutsks. That was because they hadn't used an unripe sunset wonder picked 3 minutes before noon on the first frosty day in the autumn and peeled left-handedly using a silver knife with a blade less than half an inch wide. Goody had done a lot of experimenting and was quite explicit on the subject. McGrath always kept a few by for emergencies, and this was probably one. She took a deep breath and threw the peel over her shoulder. She turned slowly. I'm a witch, she told herself. This is just another spell. There's nothing to be frightened of. Get a grip of yourself, girl. Woman. She looked down and bit the back of her hand out of nervousness and embarrassment. Who'd have thought it? She said aloud. It had worked. She turned back to her notes, her heart fluttering. What was next? Ah, yes. Gathering fern seed in a silk handkerchief at dawn. Goody Wimper's tiny handwriting went on for 2 pages of detailed botanical instructions, which, if carefully followed, resulted in the kind of love potion that had to be kept in a tightly stoppered jar at the bottom of a bucket of iced water. McGrath pulled open her back door. The thunder had passed, but now the first grey light of the new day was drowned in a steady drizzle. But it still qualified as dawn, and McGrath was determined. Brambles tugging at her dress, her hair plastered against her head by the rain, she set out into the dripping forest. The trees shook, even without a breeze. Nanny Ogg was also out early. She hadn't been able to get any sleep anyway, and besides, she was worried about Grebo. Grebo was one of her few blind spots. While intellectually she would concede that he was indeed a fat, cunning, evil-smelling, multiple rapist, she nevertheless instinctively pictured him as the small, fluffy kitten he had been decades before. The fact that he had once chased a female wolf up a tree and seriously surprised a she-bear who had been innocently digging for roots didn't stop her worrying that something bad might happen to him. It was generally considered by everyone else in the kingdom that the only thing that might slow Grebo down was a direct meteorite strike. Now she was using a bit of elementary magic to follow his trail, although anyone with a sense of smell could have managed it. It had led her through the damp streets to the open gates of the castle. She gave the guards a nod as she went through. It didn't occur to either of them to stop her because witches, like beekeepers and big gorillas, went where they liked.